Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
Well, it's coming. Rod Forrest.
Hampton. Dan Hampton.
Gosh, I can't take
OB.
It.
It's all about that game.
Ed Obradovich.
Yeah, gosh.
Hey, what's the question?
Glenn Kozlowski.
Okay, let's move on.
Cut down, Bears.
The Chevy Hemp and OB Show with Kaz.
Presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com.
On the station with the best Bears coverage, 720 WGN.
Well, it's been an interesting one. The San Francisco 49ers have come into Soldier Field and made it a lot more competitive than some thought. 2020. Robbie Gould walking out on the field about to kick about a 40-yard field goal here, team?
Not that far. I think it's inside the 20, so about 30-something, 35 maybe.
2 seconds to go. We're not allowed to do play-by-play, so, Hamp, don't completely scream out either way if he misses this kick because he already did. He already did
miss one today, but look, the Bears, they should win this, and it's a game that we expected them to win, and it was a little closer than it should have been, but this is really today's NFL, Dan. Nobody dominates anybody week to week, and anybody can beat anybody.
Hamp and OB with Kaz, sponsored by Parent Petroleum and also sponsored by the Patrick
we
Dealer
are
Group.
Now going into overtime.
I cannot believe he just missed that kick.
He didn't miss it. He missed it by a good 15 feet.
I mean, how is that possible? Dan Hampton has just left the studio, and I don't blame him. He just... Obi is spinning around and going to say something to me. That is not clutch. There's a word for what Robbie Gould just did. He just shanked that kick wide left by 20 feet, Obi.
It never should have came down to this.
That's true.
Okay? This never should have came down to this. That first half, they had, as a matter of fact, I take that back. The whole game, the Bears have had tremendous field position. Twice on a 33, once on their own 47, once on the opponent's 47, and once on San Francisco's 41-yard line to start out. And again, we come to a nail-biter where Cutler had to drive it and get down there. I mean, a great kickoff return. But still, this is what it comes down to. We had field position. We're playing a team that has not won a road game. This game should not have been close, folks. I'm telling you, we're playing against the 49ers. We're playing against backup linebackers.
Yeah.
And this never should have happened,
and
folks.
A backup quarterback that was cut from his original
Absolutely.
Team. And
this
now
should have been
San Francisco.
Glenn, this should have been a 33-34-5 game to maybe max 10 or 7. This never should have happened again. And by the way, 49ers had terrible field position. The entire game, we had unbelievable field position. And again, I go back to when the hell is Gase going to stretch this field? Field's 100 yards long, and at the end of it, on each side, is a thing called the goal line. Now, beyond that, there's another 10 yards. It's called the end zone.
Hey,
go for it. Try it when you're on the 20, 25, 30-yard line. Go for it.
Here's a tougher spot.
Quit playing scared to death football.
Ed, the other part that's tough to swallow is, you know, they've been dinking and dunking with those quick screens and the little bubble screens. Well, they got burned on that because the defense jumped it, picked it, and turned it into a seven.
That's all we do. I honest to God, I don't get, gentlemen. We've got Jeffrey. We've got people that can go down the field. We've got a tight end that is 6'6", maybe 6'7". We don't use him to split the zones over the middle. How many times do you ever see him catch a ball over the middle? There are so many things that could happen that we don't do. It mystifies me, gentlemen.
This is the first time I just want to jump in here that Hamp and OB with Kaz have been going on during the game, which is kind of incredibly cool here as we're in overtime. The Bears and the Niners at 20 apiece. Hamp, you look like you want to say something.
You know, more than anything else, and Kaz and OB basically hit on it. Hey, I'm saddened. I am saddened to see such a pathetic effort by the Chicago Bears, top to bottom. I'm talking in preparation, game plan, performance, no redeeming effort. I'm watching Shea McClellan loaf around out there and never even get in the way. But more importantly, we, as a football team, we're in a position to just put these idiots away from San Francisco. And they ran three plays the entire third quarter. And guess what? Now we're in overtime with them. Why? And you can say what you want. I mean, this coach by the 49ers is basically a running gag around the NFL. This deputy dog-looking character, Tom Sula. I got to tell you, for John Fox and this illustrious staff of ours to be out-coached by this ragtag bunch from the 49ers, hey, we may win this thing, but I'm telling you, this was an embarrassment from the start to the finish.
Let me tell you something here. When they came out today, after that great victory up in Green Bay, bad weather, taking down Aaron Rodgers. I mean, yes, it was a road game, and it was a victory up in Green Bay. We haven't won up there in 100 years. Okay, coming back home, where a lot of times we just don't perform at home, and we've got the greatest fans in the world. I thought this guy and this coaching staff, I thought these guys would be ready to come out rip-roaring and destroy this team. This 49ers is a horrible football team, folks. And we come out, and this is the thing I like to hear from the folks. All I saw was our offense come out. I didn't see any fire. I didn't see any sense of urgency.
Yep.
Okay? Nothing. They were very lethargic, very slow the first 30 minutes of the game. I thought they'd be coming out and fire, brimstone, firing away, doing everything they could, and they didn't. And I don't understand that, gentlemen.
Bears.
This was the time at home against this team who you should have put away in the first quarter.
Bears have lost 11 of their last 14 at home. They're 1-4 this year. The 49ers have returned the kickoff 40 yards out here. So,
Mark, the point is this. You sit there and you watch them for the first 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
This game should have been over. Over.
Yep.
We had the field position, not them. First quarter, I believe they gained to what? Or the first half, a total of 5 yards?
In the first,
and we can't put them away?
In the first quarter, they gained 5 yards, and they had 6 points on the Cutler pick six, which was a great play, although it still was a little bit on Jay's shoulders, too. But they got 5 yards in the first quarter, Obi. That's correct, and they had 6 points.
That's what I'm talking about.
Pretty incredible.
And this is a 49er team almost devoid of talent, almost at every position. As Obi has said, the entire linebacking crew has been, you know, either
decimated,
left the game,
Dan.
And it's reject refills at every position, and yet here they are scrapping around, having the ball out to the 40-yard line, trying to make a play.
I mean, they let Blaine Gabbert scramble for a touchdown to tie the game. I don't think he's ever done that in his career.
44-yard touchdown run when everybody stood around waiting for somebody else to make the dadgum play.
312-981-7200 if you want to have the Bears overtime conversation. 49ers do have the football to start, and they're not exactly an offensive powerhouse. So you would think if the Bears would get the football back, they could win the football game.
Let me tell you where they rank. Dead last, 32nd in the league on offense.
Exactly.
And yet they've given us all we can handle thus far in this game.
Taze and the Hawks welcome Bufflin and Ladd back to Chicago in a matinee special on WGN-TV. Blackhawks Jets, it's today at 4 on WGN-TV. You can watch that and listen to us on the stream at that point at WGNplus.com. We're with you live on WGN Radio till 3:30. Then we'll be on Plus, WGNplus.com at 3:30. And then we'll be replaying the entire show tonight from 8 o'clock until 11, right after Blackhawks hockey.
Mark, again, what I've seen so far is that, you know, it's always been like into the fourth quarter, Cutler takes us down, but these guys have bought into the system. The problem is the guys that we have out there playing, a lot of them shouldn't even be in this league. We don't have the right guys, but we got the right staff. They bought in to Fox and the system. Who knows?
Yeah, but Ed, though, you just got done telling me they're playing scared to death football. So
that,
John,
Glenn, that's offensively.
But right,
I want
but,
them.
But
I
that's
want them
coaching.
That's what I'm talking about. No, scared to death. I mean, let's go to the end zone.
Right. I agree.
Let me clarify that for you.
How can you tell me that you have a right staff in place when these guys won't throw it down the field?
I'm talking about post patterns, fly, all
right,
that.
I'm with
we
you.
Just don't go. We don't go for the striker with these guys. I don't understand.
It was almost like from the top down, this was a, oh, let's don't do anything stupid. Win. Let's just go out there, go through the motions, win a game, and be 6-6. Guess what? The 49ers didn't believe that that was going to happen.
Hampton will be with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Bears do have the football as they have forced a 49er punt. Keep you updated and keep you entertained. Coming back here, 720 WGN. Craving Gino's East Legendary Deep Dish Pizza, handmade with their famous buttery, flaky crust loaded with the freshest ingredients, then topped with the flavorful sauce. Bring the family to Gino's East with 10 locations in Chicagoland. They are closer than you think. Try the favorites like the Meaty Legend, the Chicago Fire, or their signature patty-style sausage. And if you can't make it to them, Gino's East will come to you. Order pizza delivery to your home or ship this iconic Windy City legend nationwide. For delivery zones and info, visit GinosEast.com.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz.
Presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com
on 720 WGN.
Bears quickly go three and out, so the 49ers get the ball back after a punt on their own 30-yard line. Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. We are live with you till 3:30, and then we are going to be on the stream, and then we are going to watch the Bears lose a football game right now as Blaine Gabbert has just thrown.
Who goes down the field?
San Francisco did just now.
The crappy 49ers do, Ed.
They? Somebody jump in.
That was a 70-yard touchdown bomb.
Here's what Ed is upset about, Mark, and it's simple. From the beginning, he is talking about the fact that the Bears have the mismatches on the outside. You have this kid, Jeffrey, whether you love him or dislike him, he's a vertical pass receiver who can catch the ball over anybody. And the Bears dink and dunk throughout the game. And then the 49ers come right out, throw it over the top to the tight end, I believe, right? That's their tight end?
No, that's wide receiver. Torrey Smith.
Oh, is it Torrey Smith? Okay, so Torrey Smith, he's a speed guy. But it basically looks like a cover two zone, right?
Well, Chris Brzezinski got beat on that play, amongst others. It
looks like a cover two where, it's a zone, though, because you had nobody trailing underneath him.
Well, bottom line, Bears just lost a football game they absolutely could not lose. 26-20, the San Francisco 49ers have beaten the Bears.
Mark, the point is, and I love the way this team come back. They fight. They're taking in late in the fourth quarter. And I totally believe that they bought into the system. But then there are things that should happen, okay? There are things that should happen. And one of them, we never stretch the field. We don't blitz that much, and those are things that we should be doing. When you have twice on your own 33, once on your own 47, once on their 47, once on their 41-yard line, and you got a team that put up 5 yards against you in the first quarter, and it comes down to this in overtime,
it's pathetic.
It's a disgrace.
Yes, it is.
It's a disgrace.
And you know what? I don't know how many different times during the course of this season we've had to lay, the preparation and the loss on John Fox's desk, but this is another one.
Yeah, guys, four of them now. Let me help you out. Four.
Yeah. After this team was able to go up and put together a pretty fine effort and beat the Green Bay Packers, withstand the Aaron Rodgers final drive in the fourth quarter, and then to come back and sit around all week patting each other on the back and come out and embarrass themselves like this, losing to this ragtag amateuristic bunch out of San Francisco is beyond the pale. I cannot tell you how pathetic this effort was.
John Fox got outcoached by Deputy Dog.
Yep.
I just want to go on record as saying that.
Jim Sula.
How this coaching staff, and I know these guys and everything, and I just, it's going against my belief because I do believe they bought in and everything, and that's the last time I'm going to say that, because I'll tell you, we're going to be firing here pretty damn good right now. How could the offense, they came out, folks, I'm telling you, they were lethargic. Lucky they came out of a huddle, or when they got up to the line of scrimmage with a no huddle, they're standing around, looking around. After coming from a tremendous road victory on a Thursday night against the Packers, and then to come back and play against a team they should have clobbered and they had everything going for them the entire game. Likely, number one, field position. And what happens? Again, we have somebody come in here at home in our stadium, our great fans, and with a chance to really make a statement. And guess what? We regurgitate on the field.
Well, they made a statement, Ed, but this is a statement that
yeah,
you have.
Yeah, they made a statement, all right.
Consistently done this for the last 12 years. They get you excited, and then they just go right down the side of their leg.
Mueller,
it's getting old.
Here, let me tell you something. I know, you know, Dan knows, we all know in this room, the talent is not there. There are some guys that are playing on this team that have no business being in the National Football League, and they're players, and they're starting. And what I'm telling you is, you watch and see, folks, when this season's over with, you're going to see a lot of these guys will be gone. How the hell we lose to the 49ers, backup linebackers to start, and then they go down, and we're playing against backups, and we can't put a drive together? We can't score 30-some points against this pathetic team? My Lord.
We're switching over to WGNplus.com. Blackhawk Hockey is coming up at the bottom of the hour. WGNplus.com. It's on your TuneIn app. Just go to WGNplus.com on your computer, and you can listen to the show, and it will be replayed 8 to 11. The Mueller Dealerships game-changing moment brought to you by the Mueller family of dealerships in Highland Park, Gurnee, Hoffman Estates, and Maryville. That was just the 70-yard bomb to Torrey Smith to end the football game as the San Francisco 49ers have beaten the Bears 26-20 in overtime. Switch on over to WGN Plus. We'll take your calls at 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. That is the phone number. You can react right here, 312-981-7200. Blackhawk Hockey coming up on WGN Radio. Bears lose to the 49ers 26-20. We're taking your calls at 312-981-7200. Moving over to WGNplus.com. WGNplus.com. Trust is everything. It's golden for insurance needs. It's nationwide agent Jeff Vukovich. JeffVuk.com. Serving our area for 37 years nationwide is on your side. JeffVuk.com. Welcome back in. Happen to be with Kaz, presented by Chevy Drives, Chicago.com. We have switched over to WGN Plus, but still taking your calls at 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Bears lose to the 49ers 26-20 in overtime. Torrey Smith from Blaine Gabbert. As the Bears did have a 7-point lead late, and then the Niners went down the field. Gabbert scrambling about 50 yards to the end zone to tie it. The Bears had an opportunity to kick a field goal with 2 seconds left, and Robbie Gould missed it, his second miss of the game. That sent the game into overtime, and that sent us into where we're at right now. Ham, we'll get to the calls in a second here. 312-981.
Well, guys, you know, and again, I'm shocked. I'm stunned. Like I said, I'm saddened by not only the way the team played, but the way they conducted themselves during the course of this game. But here's a couple of things. When you are a team and you watch film just like everyone else does, and you see certain players on that team being coddled and given a pass and almost, you know, told that, oh, no matter what they do, it there's no accountability. I'm talking about Shea McClellan. It has to start to rot the core of the team a little bit. Not only that, but when you have an incident like what happened a week ago with Martellus Bennett, where Martellus Bennett threw a fit in a selfish moment during practice when he was not being featured in a red zone drill, the other tight end, Zach Miller, was. Well, all of a sudden now, Martellus Bennett develops a mystery injury, doesn't even make the trip to Green Bay, and then comes out and says he doesn't even watch the game. All these little things start to kind of rot at the core. But from top to bottom, the way this team was prepared today, it has to go back to the coaching staff. And we've talked, and OB, you love to bring up the fact the kids are buying in, and,
yes,
and a lot of, there's been a lot of, you know, two steps forward, if you will. But I got to tell you, there's something going on that started here maybe a week ago or whatever, because this team played its worst game of the year. But all that being said, I think it's inexcusable that your so-called million-dollar kicker comes out and misses two chip shot field goals that would have won the game for you on two separate occasions. There's something going on this team, and it's not good.
You know what, Dan? I think I kind of buying in on what you're saying here. And I was so positive. I know I did the Roll Con show Friday. And from what I've seen, and I'm making that point about the players are buying, and they have. They truly have, because how many times have we seen last year and all the years before, the team was lost halfway through the season. The guys didn't care. The coaches, it was god-awful. This is a little bit different. But there's something else. There might be something in what you're saying here, Dan, because I'm going to – how in the world of football, you're playing at home, and by the way, you're 1-5 at home with this team coming in, and they haven't won a road game. They're a god-awful football team. They're playing with folks, backups, and they come in here again after that tremendous victory up in Green Bay and put this display on. Offense came out like they were in a coma. I don't get it, and I don't understand, which I've been saying all year, about Gase. When we get into the red zone or close to it or basically almost anywhere, if you're running a ball, the best thing to do is come with a naked bootleg play action, fake it, and hit the wide receiver coming across on a post pattern. We don't go deep, folks. We don't go to the end zone. You wonder why the hell we're struggling trying to score 20 points. When we have times that we should be going for the striker, we don't do it. We just don't, gentlemen.
Who Brought It Today is sponsored by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. You know what to bring. Anybody jumping off the page on Who Brought It Today?
Well, look.
Yeah, how about Blaine Gabbert, the quarterback, who's lucky he's in the league?
San Francisco, yeah.
Jesus.
Quarterback rating of 84 something, right?
84.9. And he ran the 44-yard touchdown that was, you know, to put the 49ers in a tie, to force overtime. But more importantly, guys, I mean, you know, from top to bottom, this team, we went out there with a zero sense of urgency.
Exactly.
And it's at
Bingo.
Home.
That's
when
what
you
I,
are,
yes.
Hey, at 5-7, I don't want to hear the word playoff again concerning this football team. It's over. But more importantly, for them to play in such a cavalier manner, like I said, it guts me. It saddens me that this veteran coaching staff knew what was at stake, and they squandered this opportunity.
I mean, the players had to know what was at stake too. I mean, come on, they're not.
Yes, yeah. Go ahead.
I'm just saying. Listen, I'm not exalting the coaching staff, but the players got to know it too, right? I mean, come on.
Look, though, here's reality. You've got players out on the field that are starting. There are kids on the bench that maybe might be worse. But for crying out loud, they'll give an honest effort, Dan. And so I'm not buying into this coaching staff garbage because I just think it's hogwash. You're right. Four games this year, John Fox, you could put right at his feet. This is game number four. And they continue to run out the same bad product, meaning bad players, and not trying to find answers. And, oh, by the way, they really sent a message through the whole clubhouse this week by cutting their long snapper. Boy, that really worked out well today, didn't it? We had a bunch of low snaps to the punter. And then, you know, on the end there, you saw Robbie Gold complaining about the bad snap on his shanked game winner.
We're on WGNplus.com. Thank you for finding us. 312-981-7200. Get to the calls in 1 second.
Yeah, why don't you want to jump in? I'm totally mystified at this loss today. I can't fathom it. We lost to this football team? And everything I've been preaching and saying about up till now went right out the window.
It's hard to believe that this team that's been so competitive all season long is 1-5 at home. 1-5 at Soldier Field. And now have lost 12 of their last 15 at Soldiers. I mean, that's just... I understand the football team. It's like, how are you better on the road? That just doesn't add up.
But they're not really that good on the road either.
Well, they are this year. They're way better this year. You're talking about they went into Green Bay and beat the Packers. I mean,
the Packers had a lucky face mask call, Hail Mary pass to beat the Lions, okay? So let's don't overemphasize that. Great. Here's what's great. Watching Aaron Rodgers throw his helmet on the ground at the end of the game in Thanksgiving Day, that was a happy moment for all of us. But let's be realistic. The Packers are stinko, and the Lions are stinko, and the Bears are even more stinko. That's the truth.
You know, somehow, some way, you've got to address a certain number of these chronic problems with certain players and positions, and time and again. OB, you called me on the cell phone during the first half saying, can you believe Shay McClellan and how pathetic his play is? And I hung up on you. I couldn't take it.
Standing flat-footed.
Oh, hey, at the snap of the ball on the goal line, he couldn't even get the, you know, oh, well, he calls our plays.
He hit two people. You know who they were?
Yeah.
Two of his own players.
Yes, and they run the dive right at him and score. I'm just saying, there's a malaise in a team when you see a player coddled like that and there is no accountability. I'm just saying, you better beware, coaches, because this is all coming home to roost.
312-981-7200. Let's get a couple calls in here. Steve in Streamwood's been waiting patiently. You are on WGN. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, gentlemen, how are you?
Go ahead,
we've
Steve.
Been better.
Obviously, with you players, you legends, playing in the trenches, this cuts a lot deeper for you guys than the average fan. But, Mr. Hampton, I heard you a minute or two ago, talk about Robbie Gould. You know, with all the bad players, with all the bad coaching decisions, with everything, with 2 seconds left, Robbie Gould misses a chip shot. Now, I listened to it on the radio. So I didn't hear if it was a bad snap or anything like that. It didn't sound like it according to the broadcast. But the guy gets a lot of money to make a 26-yarder. I mean, you know, how many games has he had this year? This is a subpar season, in my opinion, because Robbie Gould is normally just automatic.
He missed one against the Vikings that would have won the game. We wouldn't even have had to fight it out with the Vikings.
And he missed one earlier in the game against 49ers to win, too.
Exactly. I mean, you're exactly right. There's no I don't hide the fact I loathe kickers, and especially when they miss, then they start wanting to blame a snap, blame the holder, blame somebody, blame the weather. I don't know, but I got to tell you, you make a great point. You know, when the guy is doing his job, hey, he does it pretty daggum well. But this is inexcusable on a day like today when you need your so-called, you want to call him a star, your so-called leaders, whatever you want to call him, to not be bad. Well, he was pathetic. And to miss not one, but two that would have won the game is inexcusable.
I mean, even further, with a 2 minutes, the Bears had a 7-point lead, and what, 3 plays? They drive right down the heart. They run right down the heart of the Bears defense for a score.
Yeah,
Steve. The reality of it all is.
Thank you, Steve.
Is it, in the first 30 minutes of football, let's take the first 15. They have a total of 5 yards. We start the game on their 41-yard line. The next time we get it, we're on our own 47. The next time we get it, I believe we're on our own 33. This happened all game. 49ers had terrible field position. And to have this team come in here and it's got to go into overtime, you can't explain it. I am so frustrated, so aggravated. And you know, we're going to start coming down to some of these defensive linemen that are on this football team. I mean, when you can't hold your own ground, play after play on the run, they either stand you up at the line of scrimmage, position block you, turn you, or blow you off. This is a disgrace.
The Mueller Dealerships game-changing moment brought to you by the Mueller family of dealerships in Highland Park, Gurney, Hoffman Estates, and Merrillville. 36-yard missed field goal, Robbie Gould, work for you guys with 2 seconds to go in the game?
I don't think there's any question that you got to hang it on him. Because that basically gave the 49ers new life, and they made the most of it in the overtime. I mean, that was again, this wasn't a 58-yarder against the wind in a driving rain. I mean, this was Jay Cutler basically curled up in a fetal position to get it just perfect
in the middle,
right
of, the
in the
field,
middle of the field,
right?
For him.
Right. I mean, hey, it couldn't have been set up any better.
Blaine Gabbert goes to play action. They're in their own side, pretty well in their own side of the field. In overtime, and we have a wideout blow right by our four defensive backs, okay, in the middle of nowhere. And a quarterback from nowhere throws the ball perfectly to him and runs in the end zone. Wouldn't you think they would have some communication in that defensive backfield when the call is made? And if he comes in inside, you got him. He comes outside, I got him. It's this, it's that. Before the damn ball's even snapped. I know that happens.
312-981-7200. It's the Hamp and OB with Kaz show presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Bears lose to the Niners 26-20 in overtime. They fall to 5-7. And as Hamp said, the playoff talk effectively dead. We'll take your calls next. 312-981-7200. This is Hamp and OB with Kaz presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com on WGN.
36-yard attempt. Patrick O'Donnell is the holder.
That was Kenny Albert on the call. Fox Sports. Would have won the game.
It wasn't even that close either. I mean, he missed it by a good, 15 feet?
It's a flat-out choke, right?
Shanked it.
Yeah, and you know, it's just like the other one. You know, it's just a timid pass at it where you just, you know. It's the same thing in golf. When you get scared, you just shut down and you just shank
wish
hook
it.
Everything.
Yeah, you wish that you make
yeah,
it
you just shank hook it and pull it. You don't really hit through the ball. And you know, looking at the stats during the break, you know, we rushed the ball for 170 yards. We did some pretty good stuff here, pretty good stuff there. It didn't matter. You know, this ragtag bunch just hung around all day because we refused to do what we had to do to put them away. And you know what? A lot of times you get into the third, fourth quarter. Hey, they had the ball three plays in the third quarter, and yet they hung around. You know what? And I got to tell you, you know and I know that the ownership of the 49ers, Jed York, that whole bunch had picked Jim Tomsula. You know what? They're going back to the airport tonight saying, you know what? We didn't hire Vic Fangio and we didn't hire Adam Gase as our head coach. Maybe we made the right choice. I'm just saying.
This is two different franchises that left after and said, yep, we hired the right guys, right? John Elway got to say it a couple. Yep, the last team that came in here.
If this was a game coming after the Thanksgiving Day game in Green Bay off a great victory. This is a game we're at home playing against this team. Now, folks, I've been harping every week, we do not stretch the field, okay? We just don't. Now, that's what I call to me scared-to-death football. This was a team that hasn't won a road game. Again, I've said it like three or four times. This was a game where why don't we try to stretch the field? Why don't we go after them and try to put them away? Why don't we do that? We have people that can go, can fly, can make great catches, but we don't go down the field. What could happen? If the guy doesn't catch it, maybe there's an interference call. Or if they do intercept it, it's like a punt anyway, but we don't even challenge. And then when we get down close to the red zone or in the red zone, not unless I'm watching some other game, we don't even try to put the ball in the end zone. I mean, it's senseless, folks. What the hell are you out there for?
It was almost like we decided.
And this was the game to do it, Dan.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it was almost like Adam Gase said to himself, you know what, I don't want to expose Cutler, the passing game, and especially after that pick six off the that bubble screen. It's almost like from that point on, it was, we're just going to hand the ball off, and we're good enough where we can beat them without stretching the field.
Yeah,
well, guess what happened?
We'll show them. We'll trick them. They think we're going to go for a corner route in the end zone to Bennett or somebody that's 6'6", or a post pattern on a 15 or 20-yard pass in the red zone. No, they're expecting. We ain't going to do that.
Defensive star of the game. It's brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. I think the defensive star is a fairly accurate, easy choice here. And Willie Young, couple of sacks, 1.5 sacks. Anybody want to quibble with that?
Well, I think you could also, Goldman probably had his best game of his, young career. He played really well today.
Both those guys did. And it was frustrating, especially when late in the game, Gabbert was able to get out of the pocket a couple of times. You know, hey, folks, that's what I did for a long time. You have to basically designate someone to keep track of the quarterback. Let the other ones be reckless. But one guy has to be the cop that waits and stays in front of the quarterback. Apparently, nobody even understands that concept. You know, it's been a long time since I played, and it's almost like now they think they're so smart, they don't have to do it. This is what happens when you don't take care of the little things.
312-981-7200. We are taking your calls on WGN Plus. The show is being replayed tonight, too, 8 to 11. If you are listening to the replay, we love you so much, but do not call in because the show is a replay from earlier today. All right, 312-981-7200. Mike in Indiana, you are on WGN. Go ahead, Mike.
I'm telling you, they hand paychecks out on Monday. Mm-hmm. What I would do is I would have a tape. I would take one guy in at a time, say, here's your paycheck. Now let's look at what you did. Let me show you some examples of why you didn't earn this. And then ask them if they got the guts to even pick that up and take it home.
Well, Mike, they get paid on Wednesday. But go on. But I like what you're saying. Well, no, okay, I just want to get. I want you to be accurate on what you're saying. So Wednesday, you show them the tape and go on.
And then you say, you know, you keep this up, you're gone. You got the rest of the season to redeem yourself. We're watching you. And if you don't start putting out your history, I was a manager for a company here in Indiana, and I wouldn't tolerate that kind of stuff from my people. If they didn't do the job, they were gone.
You want to specify right. Who you're talking about? Anybody specifically, sir?
I'm talking about the offensive line. I don't see. They're so lethargic. It's like they're just going out there and putting on a show.
Fair enough.
Well, they rushed for they did rush for 170 yards. But Mike, I understand your frustration. I just wanted you to be accurate. So when you say that, remember Wednesday is payday. So when you're saying that, you make it fit perfectly. Wednesday they get paid.
Okay, let me throw in a couple of possibilities.
Or maybe just not start a few of the guys, right?
And guys, what I'm talking about is you hold people to account. And that was one of the great things about Buddy Ryan. He didn't care if you came in as a first-round pick or as a dock worker. If you could play, if you were the better player, you played. I got to tell you, on the offensive line, they're trying to put this Honus Grassou in there, and it's just not working. This kid, he had a neck injury. He's not moving anybody. We're getting stalemated at the line of scrimmage. That's one reason that Forte and the backs had to bounce so much today. We're not getting any type of force at the point of attack. Now, and I know, OB, you want to fight me about it, but Slauson at center gives us a much more dynamic blocking offensive line when they come in with Vladimir DeCoste.
Much better. You're right.
They're more powerful. Yep. And you know what? I'm sure this Grassou is going to be a player someday, but he ain't big and strong enough right now, and his neck's bad. He's not hitting anybody. He's just grabbing on and trying to wall people off. And the same thing on defense. You know, I wrote down, are you tougher than a fifth grader? I'd like to go watch the film with Shea McClellan and just say, show me a play where you look like you're tougher than a fifth grader because you don't hit nobody. You just fall around and grab people. And you know what? After you watch guys like that be given a pass, play after play, week after week, game after game, it's almost like a malaise that kind of sinks in. I'm just telling you, I did not see a lot of people getting after it on defense today.
Bennett, same way too. I mean, here's this guy, old unicorn, selfish, just, makes up injury. Just, I can't stand that kind of selfishness.
We will take your calls coming up after the news at the top of the hour. I put team Marconi Giardinera on everything. You know why? Because there's nothing better. On eggs, on pizza day from Gino's East, it was delicious. Subs, sausages, you name it. Marconi Giardinera's on. It's all over my kitchen. One of Chicago's favorite traditions is now my tradition. With over 100 years of experience, Marconi should be the only jardiniera in your kitchen. Marconi has over 114 years of experience serving up the highest quality Marconi jardiniera, available wherever finer foods are sold or online at marconi-foods.com. We will hear from the head coach of the Chicago Bears, John Fox, and the quarterback, Jay Cutler, who had his worst game of the season today. This is Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com on WGN.
Butler in trouble. Wrapped up, and down he goes. Ball comes loose. Jaworski Tartt with the sack, and Cutler is shaken up.
And fortunate that they did not get a penalty for the slam on the quarterback in that situation, but they're bringing pressure in. They're going to bring two people. We're going to have here, and then we're going to add this late. And the slam to the ground. Lucky there is not a flag on that play.
It wasn't his best day at quarterback, but one thing you can never say about Jay Cutler, even when he's gone, as bad as he's gone at his worst moments, the guy doesn't lack toughness. And on that play, I mean, I thought he was concussed, Hamp. I thought he was done for the day, and he's on the phone telling everybody he's fine, and he came back out there, and he let him down the field, and he ended up getting in the end zone, and then they ended up blowing the game and losing. But it wasn't Cuddy's best day. I want to ask you guys about the interception early on where Cutler was picked off by our – I just lost it on my computer – early first play there by –
the little bubble screen, yeah, or the wide out fade or whatever you want to call it.
Right. Was that Jay Cutler's fault?
Well, I'm going to tell you what. You know how many times we've thrown that pass this year?
1,000.
Guess what? Everybody comes up, plays tight, and that guy that jumped the route, that was planned.
Jimmy Ward is who I'm reaching for.
That was planned.
They baited him. Yeah, they baited him into it.
Absolutely, Glenn. That was a planned play.
And see, as an offense, you cannot fall into the trap of just going back and running the same garden variety plays, because defenses, the coordinators stay up all night figuring out ways to stop, you know, the bubble screen. And that's the way you do it. It's just like in the Super Bowl when that corner took that rub route and he jumped it and intercepted Russell Wilson. It's the same thing. When they see that formation, because of the routes, the splits, the set, the down and distance, they know pretty much, hey, guess what's coming? And they jumped the route. And Ward, I mean, hey, you got to give him credit. Yeah. He's not a dummy.
Go ahead, Ed.
Yeah, and I was going to say, make no mistake about that, Mark. They knew that was coming.
So Jimmy Ward walked into Soldier Field today at 8 a.m. whenever he got there. So if they do that, I'm telling you right now. He's telling all his teammates.
It's a call, yes. Yep. I'll guarantee it. Yeah. I'll guarantee it.
And more importantly, what Denver did to the Bears in that two-point play, the run-pass option that Cutler had, they gave Cutler the impression or the read that it was a run and then jumped the gaps and ended up, you know, taking away the run. So, you know, they gave Cutler, the read
they
that it was a run.
They baited him in to check into a run, and then they loaded up.
In this case, they backed off, and after Cutler checked into the bubble screen, the kid ran up and made the play.
You know what? Again, this goes back, guys, and I'm always, whether it's on offense or defense, what do? You attack. And we could go back to every game. I'm still trying to find a game, a quarter, a half, where we really threaten anybody with our deep passing game. I mean, there's a lot of time. We run the ball. There's things that you can do with play action and bootlegs, and you can send a fly pattern. I mean, there's so many things that you could do. And, again, I mentioned earlier about half hour, 45 minutes, whatever it was, talking about Bennett, 6'6", 6'7". How many times have we ever seen him, Glenn, Dan, split the zone, go right down the middle, split it?
Well, part of the reason
we don't do it. They don't throw the ball to them. Well, we don't run those plays.
And part of the reason why that has not been a feature of this offense, and Kaz, back me up, you know, you got to be in great shape, mm-hmm, to be able to run that 18, 20, 28-yard route time and time and time again a game. I see by the third quarter, Martellus Bennett is usually out of gas. Look, you know, going down and checking up about 6 yards, turning around, like that's going to really, you know, cook the goose. It's not.
He is.
But the other part is this. On the one fly pattern they threw to Alshon today, you know, I got to tell you, We don't, you know, we're not very fast. We don't have a lot of speed on our offense. You know, Navarro Bowman ran Matt Forte down when he broke into the open. Alshon Jeffrey, he's a good receiver, but he ain't going to run by anybody. Hey, we don't have any speed. Even the other guys, you know, Josh Bellamy. I'm just saying, the one kid, Eddie Royal, that we was hoping would give us someone that could take the top off has never been healthy this year. The other one, Kevin White, he's been gone all year too. With, you know, there is limitations to this offense with the certain players.
And Bennett has been a dog
with that
too.
A little bit. We do it. Listen, let me tell you something. Jeffrey has some speed, and he can do it. And he runs some. He can get good separation, whether it's inside or outside. He can get separation. But this is a passing league, gentlemen, and to our listeners. That's what this league is. It's a passing league. We don't go down the field. It's obvious.
There was one time today, OB, where Bellamy was open in the end zone, a couple steps on the defensive back, and Cuddy was late on the throw. He got a piece of it leaping up for it, but he was late on that toss.
Here my point is, this should be part of your game plan, part of your attack. Yep. How the hell is it that you go horizontal in passing games and you don't go vertical? How is that possible? And when you get into the red zone, again, I keep saying it, how is it possible they're on the 18-second and you're on the 18-yard line that you don't try to run a corner pattern or a post pattern? Give me a break.
Happen OB with Kaz, sponsored by the Patrick Dealer Group. Let's get a couple calls in here. 312-981-7200. KJ in Wisconsin has been waiting the longest, so you are up, KJ. Go ahead, my friend.
Yeah, how you doing, Kaz, greatest world receiver, and those two ho-hum bears?
I'm great.
Hey, listen, Fox is a clown. Him and his Navy SEALs buddies, that thinks he's a disgrace to the Navy SEALs, keeps on talking about the Navy SEALs. Now, you got this guy Fioretti, or whatever his name is, with his 3-4 defense. He could stick it, as far as I'm concerned. You use a 3-4 defense, you have gazelles running around, receivers. You don't have the quarterback lying on his freaking back because you don't have the four gorillas go after him. You just have three guys. I'm tired of this. Fire. Fox fired at a defensive guy. Get rid of all these clowns. And a story. You know, them and their Roman 3-4 defense with that Fioretti or whatever his name is, get rid of it.
Wait, what is the defensive coordinator's name?
Fioretti. Fioretti. Hey, KJ, have a great afternoon. We appreciate it. I understand. Like I understand your frustration.
He said, you're in. Entirely too negative.
Coming from Ed.
You're entirely too negative.
I had a conversation with one of the major sports writers in town this morning, and I said, you know, I got to tell you, this game is really important on a lot of levels, but more so to John Fox for a lot of reasons. I said, this is the exact kind of trap game that John Elway basically gave him the riot act and said, don't you ever do this again. Because, unfortunately, this has been his M.O. Against really good opponents, it's like he gets the team up and, oh, he's got it all ginning. But against these, these garden variety weeds that we got to be able to put away in the first half, we wind up losing to them. And that's why John Elway said, you know what? Looks to me like a guy that's going through the motions. And I got to tell you, I think that's what KJ was talking about.
If you're scratching your head to wondering, John Fox, a Navy SEAL, his stepfather, Ron, was a U.S. Navy SEAL. So that is the connection between KJ. And I don't know, OB, that was like, honestly, like he said something that no one understood. You're like, oh, Fangio. You knew exactly what he was talking about. That,
sure.
That was amazing. Yeah. That was
ready.
Well, because he was talking about the defense, the 3-4, and he was frustrated.
I thought he was talking about one of the players. I didn't know who he was going after.
I think KJ, even if I said, KJ, it's Fangio, he still would have said, Fioretti.
Yeah.
Get rid of that Fioretti.
It just, you know, it just sounded like it was Fioretti and fire matched perfect together.
You gotta love it.
312-981-7200. 100 with you tonight until 6 o'clock on WGN+. And if you're listening on WGN Radio, hope you're enjoying the replay, even though the Bears lost to the 49ers in overtime, 26-20. Coming back, we'll hear from the head coach and Jay Cutler, as well as take some more calls.
You know what, before we quickly go here.
Yes, Ed.
You know, Dan was alluded to about 10 minutes ago or so about, like, when you're watching films and all that. And I always know on the defensive side, when we played some really bad games, and when you did, you got called out. Dan, I don't know. Did you get called out?
Absolutely.
Everybody, those coaches called you out. And you're with all your peers, and you're sitting in there, and you did this. And there are two players that I absolutely cannot stand that are on this defense. And I wonder what do the players think, the other defensive players, and what is a defensive coach, if it's a linebacker coach or a D-line coach, what do they say in those meetings to those people that get blown off the line of scrimmage, or we got a linebacker can't cover or stop anybody? What happens from week to week when you have those meetings?
That's what I was talking about. A malaise. The rest of them start thinking, well, I don't have to if he don't have to. Next thing you know, you got the 49ers coming right down the field.
Damn right.
Learn how real Chicagoans live the day-to-day struggles and successes with health, fitness, and food. Watch Living Healthy Chicago Sundays at 11:30 a.m. on WGN-TV. Find out exactly who those two guys are. I think we already know, but we'll delve into them a little bit deeper. Coming back, Hamp and OB with Kaz, 720 WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz.
Presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com
on 720 WGN.
720 WGN, WGNplus.com. Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. We were talking in the break
about this game that set the program back about 10 years.
That and the fine line of between making the playoffs and not making the playoffs.
You know what? And I just
winning and losing.
I alluded to that I did the Rokot show, and I was so fired up, and they bought in, which they have. They bought in, okay? I mean, you're going to have bad moments, a bad quarter or whatever have you, but this was a total collapse. But I was so pumped up Friday, and Roe and Anna, and they were ready, and I said, that's the main difference, that they bought in, and guess what? Not this week.
They're replaying
not
that
this thing. Week.
Stink bomb.
Oh, my God.
312-981-7200. That is the phone number as the Bears lose to the San Francisco 49ers, 26-20 in overtime. Robbie Gould missed a 36-yard field goal with 2 seconds to go that would have won the game for the Chicago Bears.
He missed
a
40-yarder earlier on that would have kept it from even going to overtime.
Didn't miss it. He shanked it. You almost make it sound like he had a chance to make it. The minute he hit it, it was so ugly that you knew it had no shot at going through the uprights.
And the missed 44-yarder that you're referring to, Hamp, and then you're right, it wasn't anywhere close, and the minute it hit his, or whatever, it left his foot.
Minute he hit the ball, it was shanked dead left.
Yeah, he missed a 40-yarder with 8:48 to go in the third quarter that would have given the Bears the lead at the time. It was a 13-13 game. So it's a gross, it's disgusting, it's a horrendous loss, and it knocks them out of playoff consideration. We'll get to John Fox at 4:30, take a couple calls right now, and then we'll get into Jay Cutler as well. So here, Steve in Florida, been waiting for about an hour. Steve, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, guys. You know, I learned a new football term, this relevancy. That's PC for garbage teams with a losing record that are still alive in the playoff hunt. Look at our record at home, and I don't know how anybody could have said that we were still in contention. This team stunk it up from the beginning all the way to the end. The offense in the first, to start the game, didn't finish drives, settled for field goals. And when we had a chance, we were stopping those guys three and out. You take away that pick six. If we would have went 13-0, you're looking at a different game. But the bad team that we are, we find a way to get that pick six, give that team life. At 13-0, those guys have nothing to play for, gentlemen. We pounce on them 13-0, they're mailing it in. But, nope, we give them life. And then in the second half, we made that San Francisco quarterback look like Steve Young. Guys throwing for 44 yards, passing for 77 yards. A complete disgrace. It was just difficult to watch.
Excellent call, Steve.
You're right.
And you know what? And again, we go back. Who does this? Who do you? You know, you got to blame somebody. After coming off of maybe the biggest win this program has had in
quite a few
five
years,
5 years, 10 years.
Quite a few years.
I don't know. We haven't won in Lambeau forever. Cutler had never beaten Aaron Rodgers in a head-to-head matchup in Lambeau, and then we come out and we do. You know, lay this stink bomb. And you know what, Steve? Your point is exactly right. We basically opt out for the easy way, kicking the field goals early, taking the easy field goals instead of extending the drives, putting the 49ers into a coma. But we don't. They got new life. They get the pick six. Now, all of a sudden, we're in a dogfight down the stretch. We know how it ends.
How is this? Our opening, we're on their 41-yard line. 41-yard line. How about a sprint out, a bootleg, a play-action play, or somebody, when you send a wide out on a fly pattern, another wide out on a post pattern, and a tight end coming across the middle, and go down and attack and try to get six. When you start the game out and you're on their 41-yard line, why don't you go after people? Why don't you try to take the game and put it away and play big boy football instead of scared to death football?
What about at the end of the game? We get a 74-yard return from Thompson, and what do? We squat and relieve ourselves out there waiting for the field goal instead of punching it in.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Waiting for Robbie Gould to make the field goal.
And you know what it is? And it's always – I remember on the defense, when things like that would happen to us, we'd get out there and we'd know, guess what's coming? When it was a big turnover or something like that, Dan, Glenn, guess what's coming? They're going to go for the juggler. They're going to go for the striker. I'll be damned. We knew it, and guess what? Yeah. It would work. It would work on us, and we don't try to do that. That's my point, what I've been saying week after week after week. This offense, we don't attack. We don't go downfield, and I don't want to hear.
And that's
don't tell me that Jeffrey doesn't have legs and he can't run a gosh darn post pattern or a fly pattern. I refuse to believe that.
No, he does have legs, but here's more importantly, even if he's covered, Ed, on a jump ball against any cornerback
exactly.
in the National Football League, he's going to win 7 out of 10 of those.
Or guess
so
what?
He's going to catch the
referee
ball.
Referee throws
him.
The fag.
Yep, it's going to be that too. I mean, well, in today's NFL, it's all offense.
Glenn, we don't try that.
Nope.
I mean, how many times week after week I keep saying that? We don't attack. We don't go downfield. And especially, how the hell did you get in to the 35-yard line, 30, 27 or whatever, and you get to the 20, and you don't try to go to the end zone? And we don't.
Yep.
We just don't.
You're right.
Trust is everything. It's golded for your insurance needs. It's nationwide agent Jeff Vukovich, jefffuk.com.
Vuk!
Serving our area for 37 years nationwide is on your side. jefffuk.com. Check the tape. Yes,
you know
Obi.
The Vuk, you know, he's big into baseball.
Hey, the Vuk's into everything, yeah. But yes, he loves
you know
baseball.
The great Bill George, Hall of Fame middle linebacker.
Of course.
Yeah, his son Leo, he knows the Vuk pretty good. And Leo was a pretty damn good baseball player in his younger day. Of course, Leo's a little bit older now. But anyways, but Vuk is a huge baseball fan.
God bless Vuk. God bless Vuk and Leo as well. All right, quick timeout. Adam Hoge from Soldier Field, our Bears reporter, will be with us next. 720 WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz.
Presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com
on 720 WGN.
Bears lose to the San Francisco 49ers 26-20. Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. The injury report brought to you by the Rogers Auto Group in the New South Loop. Let's go out to Soldier Field and bring in Adam Hoge, who covered the game today for WGN Radio. Read his stuff, WGNRadio.com. Adam Hoge's Bears blog. Adam, all right, I guess we could start with the injuries. And how did the Bears come out of this one? Has anybody injured Robbie Gould out of frustration?
Well, yeah, maybe his ego a little bit. Look, officially nothing. However, John Fox did say that Jay Cutler went through the concussion protocol and passed it on the sideline. I did see the independent concussion doctor look at him while the defense was on the field, and he apparently passed it, came back in and played okay. Also, I was wondering if Matt Forte suffered any kind of injury, because I did see him get checked out by the trainers at one point, but he said afterward that he didn't. But maybe that explained why they were splitting the running backs the way they were late in the game.
Yeah, I mean, Adam, the thing about this game is expectations were high, and you're watching this team. And I know this week there was the big, look at the Bears. They hold everybody accountable because they cut their long snapper. And, you know, I get it. They didn't like the way he was snapping field goals, yet Robbie looked like he was struggling all day. And did that have something to do with it also? It is a unique change to make in week 12.
He said no, Kaz. He took responsibility. You know, I thought the snap on – and I'm not a long snapping expert. I don't want to be a long snapping expert. I got better things to do.
Go to the Holiday Inn and you might become that. You know, just the night before, Adam, check in. You'll be solid.
That's right, yes. Look, the first miss, maybe the snap was low. But, look, you got to make the kick. The second one, it looked fine. Both of them were good enough. And, honestly, I thought Thomas Gaffer's snaps were good enough, too. But if they want to make a change, fine. I don't think it's the biggest deal in the world. But today, I don't think you can pin it on that. I think Robbie Gould has missed two field goals he normally makes, especially that last one, which was basically an extra point these days. And you just got to make it.
Yeah, but I guess where I was going with this, Adam, and I wanted your thought on it. Okay, that's great. Everybody applauds. Look at the Bears. They hold everybody accountable. Then they run out number 50, who could be the worst starting linebacker I have ever watched in my entire lifetime of football, or played football at any level. And that guy continues to keep his job. And then Bennett, who looks like he's so out of shape that he can't get even halfway down the field most of the time, he continues to keep his job. There are guys out there that have no business being on the field, yet you're going to run off the lower one-third of your roster and get rid of the long snapper. It just at some point, when does that start to wear on the team? Hamp talked about the fact that, you know, you don't hold starters accountable and you keep running them out and telling them they're great and, oh, don't worry about things. Team kind of reacts to it.
I think the difference there, though, is that they don't have anyone else to play those positions. I mean, they really don't. I think that that's probably the theme of today, is that there's a fine line of accountability and making changes and also just kind of running out of options. This was kind of a reality check today, I think, that shows you that there's still a ton of work here to be done by Ryan Pace. And we've been talking about this before. I mean, this was a great season in terms of coaching and getting these guys ready to go every week and accountability and all that. But they didn't really upgrade the talent on the roster all that much this offseason. And I think that in days like this, you kind of remember that.
Well, this was a big, Adam, this was a big setback for Fox, Fangio, Gase, and the position coaches, because I'm a firm believer that these players forget about where their talent level is, that they bought into the system. And the reason why I'm saying it, all you got to do is look back at last year and the year before that and go on, et cetera, and you'll see that these kids have bought into it. They're not going to let these kids run and hide. But what happened today, I have no defense. I'm absolutely stunned at what I saw out there today. Lack of effort by the players, the coaches' decisions on both sides of the ball, horrendous. And to let this team, who hasn't won a road game, come in after that giant victory last Thursday, and let them come in and slap you around and take this game away from you. There's 16 of them. To say that's unacceptable, it's unbelievable. And everything that I had plus and positives for today, to me, basically kind of, I mean, I'm still in bewilderment of what in the hell were they thinking about? My Lord.
Here's what stunned me, OB. The fact that Blaine Gabbert, of all people, beat Vic Fangio today, especially when Vic Fangio's going up against his old team, that I never would have thought. And Carmen, I was on with you guys yesterday.
I was waiting for this. Go ahead. Just say it.
I was completely wrong about it. I just could not imagine the scenario where out of all the quarterbacks, especially when you're coming off a game where you played really well against Aaron Rodgers, that Blaine Gabbert was going to be the one that figured the system out. And I mean, the one thing this defense has done, and they haven't been great, but they've been pretty respectable all season, is not give up big plays. That's how they lost the game today. A huge, long 44-yard touchdown run by Blaine Gabbert, of all people. By the way, Adrian Amos said he thought Blaine Gabbert was going to slide and didn't want to hit him. That's a tough situation because it's not really a good enough excuse, but at the same time, the way they call penalties these days on these guys, they sort of understand it. Then on the busted coverage, that's the kind of stuff we just haven't seen all season, but here it was today.
Adam, there's an answer for that. And the answer is when you're in situations like that, dire situations, and you're defensively, and that defense is called, and even if, let's say it's called and then McClellan calls an audible, okay? Communication defensively is one of the best things that you can have. The players have to talk each other. And you can get it done in like a second or two. Okay, call that. Okay, you got it. He comes inside, you go outside. Boom, boom, boom. You got it set before the snap of the ball. Did you see him? He ran right by him like they were – like they were statues.
Not a lot of effort. And you're right, Adam. The one thing I would say on that play, I totally get it. It's hard as a defensive player. Is he going to slide? Is he not going to slide? But at that moment, you're up seven. Why not just take the kill shot? Because if you're going to get penalized, then lay out this guy that has been hurting you a little bit, right?
I'll guarantee you, Adam and Glenn, I'll guarantee you, somebody's going to talk. There was no communication on that play in the defensive backfield.
Well, on the last play, from what I was able to gather in the locker room, look, I think this starts with Fox. No one wants to sell anybody out and say who screwed up. But my understanding is they were in a cover three. It was it pretty much came down to Tracy Porter and Adrian Amos having to decide who had who was going to follow Torrey Smith down the field, who was going to take the inside route. They both went with the inside guy. So it's hard to know which one of them went the wrong way, but one of those guys is a longtime veteran in the NFL, and the other's a fifth-round rookie. So that's the situation you're dealing with.
Adam, yeah,
well, and
that's exactly what I'm –
they both went to the flats almost.
What I'm saying
there,
to you, that's when you get in situations, and this is not an I think, by the way, you got to have communications. They've got – communicate. They've got to talk to each other. That's not a difficult thing to do. That should be standing operating procedure.
Hey, Adam, I've got a question. Obviously, all season long, especially against the Denver Broncos, Adam Gase featured the little bubble screen early in the game. They shut us down. It's almost like a well that we're trying to go to too often. Obviously, it was it blew up in our face today for the pick six. Could you tell, or was that even addressed as far as the offense kind of came off the rails for about 30 minutes after that play?
No, it did. And honestly, guys, this has been a theme for most of the season. This offense has been underachieving. I mean, as much as people have been praising Adam Gase, and I think he does deserve to be praised for he has a big part in how Jay Cutler's been playing this season, but there's still a lot of talent on this offense. And for big portions of games, they've been stalling out, not moving the football, stalling in the red zone when they get there. You know, something was off today between Cutler and Jeffrey, only four catches on 12 targets. Cutler wasn't as sharp. I'd probably say this was his worst game of the season. You talk about those bubble screens, Hamp. You know, that play was interesting because Cutler saw the blitz coming before the snap from the left side. It wasn't a well-timed blitz, and he kind of tipped it. Cutler saw it, looked to the right. He moved Jeffrey in closer to him and then still threw the ball. So I think he had Jimmy Ward kind of reading Cutler there. And also I think Bellamy missed his block completely. That doesn't help.
That's not a mystery, believe me.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just stuff like that. I mean, whether it's the right call at the line of scrimmage or just not executing the little details of the play, there's been a lot of that. And let me say this about the offensive line, too. It seems like whatever combination has been in there, and there's been a lot of them this season, it seems like they've always been down one guy. Like, one guy is always screwing up at some point And that, I think, is contributing to a lot of the problems.
Hey, Adam, the only thing that in defense of something like that, go from team to team to team. We're not the only we're not the only team that has that problem. You got to have backups ready to go. And that's just the bottom line. They got to be ready.
Yeah, and Adam, that's what Adam's agreeing. He's saying that, you know, it seems that each one of them, different guys each week, right, Adam, or at different times, just don't know what they're doing and they make a mistake.
Yeah, it's like play to play even. You know, right. It's one play, Hronis Grassou is getting blown up in the middle. The next one, he's fine, but Patrick Omame commits a hold. Then there's the random times in games where even Kyle Long is committed a hold, not today, but in Green Bay that happened. So it just seems like from play to play, there's always one weak link, and it's really the only guy who I think has been consistent all year long is Matt Lawson.
Adam, before the game today, the big news was about the brother of Kristen Cavallari, who was reported missing in Utah, and his name is Michael Cavallari, and according to investigators, there was security footage at a nearby convenience store, and that confirmed that Michael was a driver of a vehicle, and they found credit card receipts and a bunch of stuff. And the reason why I bring it up, is it true that the first question asked to Jay Cutler in the postgame was whether that impacted his focus today? Is that accurate?
I believe that's true, that question was asked.
Who would ask? Wow. You know, every day you scratch your head, don't you, Adam? We all scratch our head going, huh?
I mean, that's you could ask that question. It's just certainly not the first question. It's maybe at the very end. You could ask, is everything okay? You know, what do you know about your brother? Do you care to comment? Something along those lines. To me, the Cutler did look off today, though, and you just mentioned it, and I agree with you that it was his worst game of the year. Do you give credit to the Niners' defense? I mean, where are we going with this?
Maybe, you know, the one thing I would say, and by the way, Cutler was sick this week, too. Not that that's an excuse, just pointing it out that was going on as well. I thought that at times, especially in the first half, that the Niners kind of had the Bears figured out. Maybe it goes back to some of the bubble screens we were just talking about too, that they, you know, they're an NFL football team too. And the defense, their defense is statistically doesn't look that great, but has been respectable in recent weeks too. Kind of keeping the Niners in some of these games, but not really. Look, guys, this team has been losing their road games by 21 points, an average of 21 points per game on the road this season. There's no excuse for what happened at Soldier Field today. That's the bottom line.
Absolutely, and, you know, I made the point earlier that this was the exact type of game that got John Fox relieved of his duties up in Denver. Was there any sense of urgency that anyone even brought in the post game saying, how does this happen?
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, but, you know, Fox is just read and execute in all areas, and he's not going to say much. But, yeah, I think that's fair, though. Look, this Bears team is still not the greatest team in the world. They need to get better. I went through that already. But today they should have been the better team on the football field. And I agree that at moments in this game, they didn't look like they were ready to go, that they were firing on all cylinders, really on offense for most of that game, 95% of it.
Adam, great stuff. We're going to hear from John Fox next, and we'll read you at WGNRadio.com and talk to you next week, my friend.
All right, see you guys.
Adam Hoge out at Soldier Field. We're going to hear from the head coach of the Chicago Bears coming back. He talked for exactly 2.5 minutes. Standard John Fox. It's going to be a scintillating 2.5 minutes coming right back on 720 WGN and WGNplus.com.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz.
Presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com
on 720 WGN.
Hamp and OB with Kaz. The great Glenn Kozlowski, who threatens to impact me with bodily harm each week.
No, that's Ed that does
no,
it.
No, Ed would never do that. Ed's a class guy. Right, OB? You'd never actually say like you would hurt me. Kaz,
he said he was going to hang out the window 2 weeks ago.
That is true. You have actually done that every week.
I mean,
but he's joking. You actually would do it.
I do have the rope.
Yeah.
All right, let's
get his bag.
Bears lose their worst game of the year to the Niners, 26-20 in overtime at home. They're 1-5 at home. They've lost 12 of the last 15 at home. Your calls are welcome. 312-981-7200. Tell a friend. We're on WGNplus.com. And let's see. We got two guys who have been waiting almost the exact amount of time. But Jason in the north side, you are up first. Go ahead.
Hi, this is me, Jason. This is me, Jason.
Yes, Jason, you're on.
Oh, you're on, Jason.
I'm sorry. Thank you. No, I don't mind waiting at all. Well, Dan, you kind of stole my thunder a little bit, buddy. I'm proud to say I work for our country with the United States Department of Labor, and I had to move from the north side to Denver. I just got back, and everyone, I went to a lot of Broncos games because I'm just a sports nut, and everyone knew that Fox was given his passing or his pink sheet because of his lack of aggressiveness. So that's been covered. But what I wanted to share with you gentlemen was what really alarms me. I think we've been sold some really damaged goods. The weather was beautiful. You come off the biggest win of this new tenure that we have here. Everyone and their mother should have been fired up. This guy is very tentative. He runs the ball. And the last thing I'd like to share with you is if you go back to the Green Bay game when we lucked out and won that game, right before we had a chance to put it down their throats, we ran the ball in the heart of their defense, and we let them use their timeout. And I looked at my wife, and I says, you're going to give Aaron Rodgers the ball back with 2 minutes? And I almost threw up. And the only reason why we won that game is because Aaron Rodgers was off. But typically, that would have been another loss. And that's all I want to share with you, gentlemen.
You're exactly right. Late stages of that game, we were all screaming, what are you doing? That's when you basically throw caution to the wind. You're on the road. You're playing your arch rival. You don't just curl up in a ball, hand it off, and basically say, okay, we're going to give it back to Aaron Rodgers with a little less than 2 minutes to go. I was screaming, but you know what? They went right down the field, and they had 4 shots from the 8-yard line, and thankfully our secondary was able to make some plays and preserve the victory. But you're exactly right. That was not because of crystalline moment of coaching genius of John Fox that we won that game. Yeah.
Good call, Jason.
Let me make a couple points. You guys are talking about energy and effort. Kadeem Carey ran over a linebacker that's 50 pounds heavier than him, right, Hamp? I mean, that's fair.
Yeah, to take the lead.
Yep.
I mean, that happened, right? And Matt Forte was running harder today than he's run maybe all season. I thought he had a little something up the old backside because Jeremy Langford's showing that he could very well step into that position. I mean, those guys were going hard.
There were a few of them, yes. But I could also name 2 or 3 guys that were just dogs out there, too. And I think that's what Dan's talking about. Consistency across the board. You get 16 times to do this in a year.
Well, when you're talking about dogs, let me bring up Martellus Bennett for a second here, not to lump him all by himself. But for you to say, and you brought it up earlier, Hamp, that on Thanksgiving, when you didn't go to Green Bay because you were hurt, okay, that's fine, you were hurt, you stayed home. But your wife was watching the game in one room, and you're in another room doing whatever Martellus Bennett was doing, that can't be true. It's just bizarre to me.
Okay, this guy has gone out of his way his entire career to say stupid stuff. And I don't know if you know about this, OB, but again, the reports came out after the fact that on the Tuesday prior to the Thanksgiving game in Green Bay, there was an incident in practice where he was throwing a temper tantrum because Zach Miller was being featured in the red zone as far as the primary scoring option for pass plays. So, mysteriously, Bennett throws a fit and then becomes injured to the point where he did not even make the trip, was deemed to be injured and didn't make the trip, okay? Now, when he was asked about this on Friday, the day after the game, they said, well, what did you think when you were watching the game? He goes, I didn't watch it. My wife watched it, but I didn't even watch it. Now, again, to me, that has to be a lie. I mean, this is your profession, and you would not watch every play like it was, you know, pearls from heaven.
First of all, why weren't you there? But
yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Why would you? Why wasn't he there? If he did something to be suspended, how come he was not suspended without pay? And then after the fact, come up with some flippant comment about, I didn't even watch the game. See, and that's what I'm trying to tell you. These little seeds germinate after you watch Shea McClellan play like some bad sixth grader that he doesn't hit anybody, doesn't tackle anybody, doesn't get the defense lined up, you know, is out of position at the snap of the ball on the goal line, all these different. And after a while, you start seeing an acceptance and leniency of this type of thing happening. The next thing you know is everybody thinks, well, I don't need to lay out for that pass. Oh, I don't need to really make sure I get this block and protect Jay Cutler. Little things start to happen.
Well,
the next thing you know, a rat team like the 49ers come in here and steal one in your backyard.
Well, if you know, I'm Dan, when I'm first I'm hearing about this, but I could tell you this, and obviously you're telling us what you read or heard or whatever, but I'll tell you what. If, in fact, that did, it should have been addressed immediately, right then and there before they left the locker room. That's what should have happened, and that's what was Fox's job. He is the head coach.
He said he's not worried about it. He was asked what's going on.
I'd like to ask him that question right now. Are you worried about it now?
I'm worried about it.
We'll hear from the head coach coming back after the news here. Craving Geno's East legendary deep dish pizza, handmade with their famous buttery, flaky crust, loaded with the freshest ingredients, then topped with flavorful sauce. You can bring the family to Geno's East with 10 locations in Chicagoland. They're closer than you think. Try the favorites like the Meaty Legend, the Chicago Fire, or their signature patty-style sausage. Mm-mm-mm, so good. If you can't make it to them, Geno's East, of course, will come to you. Order pizza delivery to your home or ship this iconic Windy City legend nationwide. For delivery zones and info, visit GenosEast.com. We've got the head coach of the Bears, I promise, coming up right after that. John Fox, he spoke for 2.5 minutes. We can't wait to hear what he said on WGN and WGNplus.com.
This is the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Start of the final hour, Hamp and Kaz, and our man OB, wrong order, Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Thank you so much for being with us this afternoon on WGNplus.com and checking out the replay tonight on WGN Radio as the Bears lose to the San Francisco 49ers 26-20. Locker room interviews are sponsored by Motorworks. Nobody works like Motorworks to earn your business. And nobody works like John Fox works, your head coach of the Chicago Bears. Not a great day for the Foxy. And let's hear what he had to say. Ed, you're looking at me like you want to say something before we hear from Fox? Or are you just fired up to hear this 2.5 minutes of great leadership?
We're riveted. Let's hear it.
Here we go. John Fox at Soldier Field.
All right. There were no injuries of anybody left the game. It did not return. So no injuries to announce. Any questions?
John, how much did not taking advantage of the good field position early where you got field goals instead of touchdowns, how much do you think that impacted the momentum and the outcome of the game?
Again, like any close loss, like today, we've had our share. It comes down to, I think we made plays in every area of the team, just not enough. I think, minus one in the turnover ratio, they had a pick six, the conversion, it wasn't quite the red area. I won't go into it that statistically, but selling for two field goals obviously is a different swing than two touchdowns.
How does a loss like this happen after coming off such a good win over the Packers?
Yeah, I think really what you did last week is what you've done for me lately in this league. So you've got to be ready every week, and you've got to perform at a high level, and we came up a little short today.
On the Gabbert touchdown run, the 44-yard, was that man coverage, and was that just a product of a missed tackle?
Without going too much into our scheme, there was man elements to it. It was a good play on his part, and we didn't execute as well as we needed to.
How just says Jay's day overall? Can't come back from the pick six.
I think we haven't seen the statistics yet, but I think all in all, like our whole football team, we came up a little short.
Coach, how frustrating are those kind of interceptions that Jay has? Just in the timing of them sometimes, and just where they come.
Well, I've had a few quarterbacks, and I think I don't think they try to throw interceptions; they all throw them. It's the reality. We bounced back from that. We had other opportunities to win the game. We just didn't.
What do you tell them about a pick like that? Do you talk to them about those kind of situations or that?
We talk to them after every series. So it's just, it's usually not one person. And in that that case, that's the case.
Well, the thought process, the last series setting up Robbie's field goal attempt, setting up this rather than, you know, going for a first down or continuing to, you know, move the ball.
I think, you know, been down this road a couple times. I would do it exactly the same had it presented itself that way again. Obviously, you know, it's always better when you make the kick.
John, was there a miscommunication on the touchdown?
Yeah, I'd say it wasn't well executed.
John, did Jay have to go through the concussion protocol after getting slammed to the turf on the inside?
Yes, he did, and he passed.
Is there anything else?
Okay, right. Great. Thank you.
The guy's torture. Honestly, he is. Not to go into our scheme, was it man coverage? Maybe I shouldn't be bothered by this stuff. Actually, I know I shouldn't be bothered by this stuff. Not to go into our scheme. Is there anybody in the NFL that could watch that's an actual coach or player who would watch the Bears film today against the San Francisco 49ers and not know what defense that they're in? Why does he? Why can't he just answer that question
Adam
directly?
Adam told us it was a cover three, basically, which is one deep safety in the middle, and then there's three, both corners and the other safety across the middle of the field. Right, Kaz?
Yeah, I mean, basically.
And then you have to account for who's coming across, and then you jump them.
Well, basically, either the corner needed to be in a third. You have this free safety in a third, and then the other corner a third. You can have your strong safety go to the third and have a corner sit, which is a variation. But basically, yeah, it's three deep.
Well, okay.
And so the corner and the safety to the strong side, so the strong safety, which is Amos, and Porter, the corner, both stayed in the flat. And then the seam guy, the guy in the slot, went up and ran a route where if the corner was in the deep third, he would have been there to pick it off.
Right, but is he?
That's the mistake.
But my question is he actually protecting something? I mean, would it be wrong?
No, he's just who knows
it's
what
double,
his deal is.
It's double talk. You know, I'll figure it out. You will see what happened tomorrow. But we're not going to talk about, you know, specifics as far as our scheme. Everybody saw, and Adam said it was it was cover three.
Cover three.
Basically, folks, that's the free safety. Przinski stays in the middle. We saw him react way too late to Smith after the ball was already caught and he was running. You know, somebody has to jump that route, and whether it was the corner
or the strong safety,
Amos in the middle, somebody didn't do their job.
What happened? If you look when that play was ran, he ran right by our cornerback and our safety. And then when he did that, did anybody notice? Did you
see how quickly they turned?
They turned and they looked at each other while the guy is running down the field. They turned and looked at each other. That's what I was always talking about, communication. You got to have it every play. But that, did you see him? They turned around, was right on, and looked at each other.
Hey, but wait a minute, OB. You're kind of giving away company secrets there.
Right.
Yeah, hey, Fox doesn't want you talking about
the
scheme.
Yeah, you can't do that because that's a scheme issue.
Communicating.
Well, hey, and again, how does it get that far? You know? Hey, when you're actually slapping somebody, have you ever thought, how did it get this far?
It's
idiot kicker, kick the damn field goal.
And communication.
Jesus.
Well, okay, the David Hall was
not
asking,
a mystery.
Our good friend David Hall was asking that question. And you guys are talking about the Torrey Smith final play of the game, 71-yard completion from Gabbert. I think he was actually asking on Gabbert's 44-yard touchdown run where he scrambled his way.
Yeah, he went right up the middle, and there was no safety help.
He was asking, were they in man coverage on that play, which I don't know. I don't know if you guys have that.
Well, McClellan had to back out of the backfield, which is practically, you know, 60-80% of the time. He was going to trace the wheel route, and then the quarterback just busted through, and before anybody could react, you know, he was running, you know, like a jackrabbit right at the end zone.
Right. 312-981-7200 on WGNplus.com, or you're listening to us on the replay tonight. Let's get John in Milwaukee, who wants to take a shot at the kicker, who is not Ham's favorite either.
Good.
Robbie Gould. Go ahead, John.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I want to continue on Robbie. I just think that in the NFL, when you miss not one but two field goals from 40 or less, you forfeited your job, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, that should be a chip shot. I can sit up here in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, and hit a 40. Okay, maybe not with a line in front of me. And I'm 54. I mean, come on. That is here's my recommendation. You all know Jeff Budzine used to play at Northwestern. The guy has got great range and accuracy. He's the number one leading kicker of all time at Northwestern. Give Jeff Budzien a chance. Dan, get out there to Hallis Hall and tell him to give Budzien a chance. Would you do that for me?
I don't know who he is. I'm sorry.
Well, he's a former kicker. He just finished up at Northwestern.
John, here's the thing. Everybody was with you on your frustration on Robbie Gold. I'm not sure.
I love Budzien.
I mean, I love Budzien, but there's a lot of kickers out there that would love to come in and try to make two chip shots.
John,
to win
let
the
me
game.
End this conversation by saying this: this kid ain't going anywhere. Unfortunately, he's not going anywhere. He's going to be here.
Obi's right.
That's unfortunate.
You know, they've kind of like married him and made him, you know,
almost a face,
wealthy, and it's almost like such a comfy little, you know, relationship. Yeah, it's almost like he's above reproach. But what is pathetic is these three kicks. Either make one of these today, we win the game. Now we're talking about playoffs and things on the upbeat side of the ledger. Instead, I mean, it's all bile and vomit because we're sick and tired of trying to trust and believe this team that they want to be respected, they want to be a credible football team, and then they come out and they lay that stink bomb on us like that.
Boy,
and Robbie Gold, it's right in his lap, him and Fox.
Boy, I tell you what, again, folks, what a game today. What a day to make a statement. To tell people who you are, the end of the season, we're making a run for the playoffs, we're here, we're believing, and here we go. And for this, again, and I can't tell you how many times I've said it, every time one of these games comes up, important game, and we're playing at home, we get the food taken right off the table right in front of us.
For those of you who like to take it like a Bears fan, Chicago Tribune Sports Plus is for you. Get award-winning sports-only coverage, insights, and perks at chicagotribune.com/sportsplus. Gold on the year is 26 of 31. That was his fourth and fifth misses on the season. When we come back, we'll hear from the quarterback, Jay Cutler, who had his own miss early on the 29-yard pick six. That is straight ahead. Plus your phone calls, 312-981-7200. Bears lose to the Niners, 26-20 in overtime. We're on WGNplus.com.
Touchdown, Bears!
The Chicago Bears conversation is here. The Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
All right, before we hear from the quarterback, Jay Cutler, and this is Hamp, it'll be with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. My name is Mark Carman on WGN Plus, or the replay that you're listening to right now on WGN Radio. What grade do you give Jay Cutler today? A, B, C, D, F, Hamp.
I give him a C plus, and the reason is, you know, we've been screaming all year, hey, you know, that bubble screen, it's a Pandora's box one day, and then the next play, it could bite you. Well, guess what? It bit us today. But the other part was he did put together a fourth quarter scoring drive to go down and reclaim the lead and hopefully salt this thing away. Despite all the, you know, all the bungling all through the second and third quarter, but it, you know, with our defense, it wasn't enough.
Ed,
a B,
and Kaiser,
I'd give him a C.
It's his second game this year where he had a quarterback rating in the 60s. The last one was opening day when they lost to the Packers. He was at 67.5 after going 18 of 36 with a touchdown and interception. Today was only the second time all season that he did not throw a touchdown pass. That also happened in the Broncos game, and he did throw an interception. Quarterback rating is 64.2, 18 of 30.
Adam Gase has to take part of that responsibility. His offensive game plan for today, and if it is what I saw, it was a plan for disaster. Sooner or later, you got to start thinking positive, and you got to start thinking aggressive. Okay? You sooner or later, you have to. And this guy is not. So I'm going to put, if you were to ask me to give Gase a grade, I'd give him a D. I mean, Gase, excuse me.
Right.
I'd give him a D.
Let's hear from the quarterback, Jay Cutler. Again, 18 to 31, 202, completion percentage of 58, quarterback rating of 64.
Yeah, but he still gave him a chance to win, Mark.
He did. Hey, listen, Robbie Gould kicks the game winner or kicks the
Go back and watch the film in the fourth quarter. He was making an awful lot of good plays out of nothing. You know, getting the ball off, scrambling, getting out of the side of the pocket, making some really good throws. And you know what? A lot lesser quarterbacks would not have come back in after he got body slammed backwards onto his head.
Dan, here's the thing about that. I agree with you 100%. That's the biggest change on this team is Icing Cutler, basically with his attitude and his ability took a step up. But there's only so many times you're going to be able to do that. You're not going to walk through this league pulling miracles game after game late in the fourth quarter. It's not going to happen.
No, but it wouldn't have taken a miracle today. Just make a kick. But here we go. Here's Cuddy. Jay Cutler at Soldier Field.
We would have a question. Jay, has it been a tough week? Has it been hard to kind of get into game mindset for this week?
Why so?
With stuff going on that we've heard about lately with your wife's brother and stuff.
Oh, no. I mean, we stay focused and, you know, we adjust better than anybody.
Jay, you had two early possessions. You got field goals and net touchdowns. I know it's been a problem, but how much of an effect did it have on the game, the momentum of it?
Yeah, we had good field position for most of the day. I thought defense did a heck of a job for us. You know, we got to play better offensively, and it starts with me. I know for a fact we're not going to like the film we're watching tomorrow.
Jay, it looked like right after you threw the interception, you knew immediately you followed the throw. You knew it was going to happen.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was a quick screen, and, you know, if he jumps it, it's probably going to be pick six. And he had a good beat on it, jumped it, and, you know, made a good play.
Jay, you were taking some plays really low down the play clock earlier in the game. Was it the rotations with the safeties that was giving you guys some difficulties, getting things right before snap?
No, I think we had a good idea of what they were doing defensively. You know, there's times we kind of want to burn up some of the clock and run the ball a little bit. You know, I think that was just one of those cases.
Some interceptions easier to move past or put behind you than others.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you don't see a guy, you miss a coverage, things like that, those are kind of tough ones to swallow. I mean, I knew exactly what happened there. We got to correct it on the sideline, and we were off and rolling.
Coming off the victory over the Packers, this one especially hard to swallow after how well you played?
I mean, we didn't play offensively. We didn't play that great in Green Bay either. That's kind of the facts. Today, we didn't play exceptionally well either. So, offensively, we got a lot of work to do.
Jay, from a standpoint of accuracy, do you think you were just kind of off today, or were there other issues that were kind of discombobulating the offense? Or
I don't know the stats, but, I mean, they presented some problems. I think we made some mistakes offensively that contributed to some of that stuff. You know, it takes a lot of guys to make it work.
What do you remember about the play? You got thrown down, and then you went through the concussion protocol on the sideline.
Threw down pretty good. You know, I know the play. I mean, we went through the protocol. Had no problems. You know, talked to the doctors again. Feel fine at this point.
You were much better after that. Did that kind of inspire you? Or?
So you just take a vicious shot early. That's the game plan now. I mean, we were in a mode where we needed to score. Some guys made some big plays on the outside, and we were able to punch one in. It's a shame we couldn't finish the game, though.
Did you think that might have been a penalty that hit on you?
I haven't seen the replay, so, I mean, I don't know.
Any answers for the 1-5 at home this year?
No, wish I did.
Jay, it looked like on that 4th-and-2 when you guys punted, Langford came on the field. It looked like you might have gone for it and then decided to punt. Did you expect to go for it? Did you want to go for it in that situation?
I think as a quarterback, as an offense, you always have a lot of confidence. But, you know, that's what Foxy and the guys in the booth and all those guys, they make that decision. So we back it 100%.
Couple more. There was a lot riding on this game. You get back to 500. You would have been kind of in the mix. What's the mindset now, and how do you recover from something like this?
Yeah, I mean, second time we had a shot to get back to 500, and we kind of blown both opportunities. It's a shame because we had a good shot today. You know, offensively, like I said, we need to play a little bit better. But it's a great group of guys in there. We got a heck of a coaching staff. We're going to go back to work tomorrow, and we're going to battle for the next game. And that's all we can do.
Did
impact you not having Marquise out there? I mean, I know you've dealt with so many receivers, but he's been out there for every single game.
Yeah, it has. I mean, it's hard missing him. Like you said, he's been out there. He's got a good feel. But I thought those other guys stepped in and made some big plays for us.
Jay Cutler over at Soldier Field a little bit ago as the Bears lose to the Niners 26-20. Quick timeout. We'll get you into the news, and we'll get you set up for the Redskins coming up next. And I want to follow up on what Cutler said about moving forward and how the Bears are going to bring that positive attitude the rest of the way. We'll do that next on WGN and WGNplus.com.
First and 10 from their own 29-yard line as Gabbert goes deep for Torrey Smith. He makes the catch, and Smith wins the game for the San Francisco 49ers. 71 yards from Blaine Gabbert to Torrey Smith for the game winner.
That happened. Niners beat the Bears 26-20. Torrey Smith, the one guy in the entire San Francisco 49er wide receiving crew that has any speed, but somehow he did get past the Bears, and he coasted into the end zone holding the ball up at Soldier Field. That's the one guy.
It was like our guys didn't even decide who was going to take the route.
The deep third, yeah. Either the corner or strong safety had to be in the deep third, Mark, and neither one of them were there.
Now, it's interesting. First quarter, second quarter, would you have known? You'd think in overtime you'd want to decide who would pick up the fastest guy on the field.
Because remember I said to you, it looked like a cover two. Well, it was a cover three, and the free safety actually made a good effort to even get in the picture. Because really his job is up the middle. You know, he's got the middle third.
Everything you guys are saying is correct. Is it a bewilderment to somebody on our defense that they just might try this play?
On the first play of the second.
You got to pause the 49ers.
Overtime? Yeah. Could that come upon anybody's brain out there that, hey, watch for this? Because that isn't the first time they've ever run that play. Watch for this. That is.
All right, hey, come on. They're running back. Sean Drone, he was on 9 different teams in 3 years. Blaine Gabbert was a reject, misfit.
Jacksonville.
Runoff from the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Of all people.
And then yet they come in here, and looks like the second coming of the Steelers with Bradshaw to Stallworth.
That pass play against us never should have happened. And again,
we had no pressure.
And it's worth saying again. Like they didn't know something like that was coming. I'm talking about our defensive backs. That's unforgivable. As a matter of fact, that's how you lose your job.
I'll give you some stats that might further agitate. Go ahead, Cass.
Well, what I was going to say, Ed, you pointed it out. The strong safety and corner basically looked at each other. And then they both
punch by them, and they turn around and look at each other.
And they both also made the adjustment to pretend like they were covering the hitch guy, like they both. Oh, yeah, this is who I have. Yeah, I don't know why you didn't get him. So they both, you know, it was like cover up on top of everything else.
This game, you know, and at home the way things are going, you know, and again, not to talk in circles, folks, but like for my God, you don't think that they're going to try a play like this? That's something that never should have happened.
It's kind of a Randall Cobb, Green Bay Packer-esque a little bit, right? With the
okay, and you know, traditionally when you're on the road, you're an underdog. You know, you're thinking, hey, let's see, we'll see if we can't plot it down the field and see what happens. Hey, they just said to hell with it. We're going to chunk it deep to our fastest guy. We not only did it not look like we were ready to cover it, we didn't even suspect it. Which is alarming.
Hey, you know what, folks, our listeners, let me.
I mean,
tell
think
you
about
something.
It.
I know that's. I can only laugh because it's ridiculous.
Hey, think about this: Blaine Gabbert from the scrap heap, OB, makes a series of about 6 or 8 plays in the last 5 minutes of the game to beat Vic Fangio. I would have never thought that could happen.
Drive of the game sponsored by the Patrick Dealer Group. Click patrickcars.com. We are right now talking about the drive of the game, the game winner.
Let me just jump something in front of that. And I'm going to go back to the beginning of this game, coming from last week again to where this game was today at home and what might have been here in the near future, and to come in, and what you do, folks, with a team like that coming in, you're at home after coming off that great victory, you go after, this is a god-awful football team, and they have to fly across the country to get here. God-awful football team. They had backups playing. And we don't become aggressive. We don't go after these people. They wound up with backup middle linebackers. How do you not go after them? How do you not put them away in that first half, especially with all 47-yard line? We're on there. We open up one time on a 41-yard line.
They're 41, and then our 37, which is tremendous starting position.
Absolutely.
Our 47.
Right. Yeah.
OB, let me just tell you this. Well,
then my point is this, Dan. That this game, the way it went down, it never should have happened. Never.
You know, Kaz and I played with Jim Harbaugh for a lot of years. We liked Harbaugh. We like a lot of how he goes about his business. We were both big fans of the 49er football team. And I got to tell you, 2 years ago, we went out there on a Monday night and they took us apart. I thought it was one of the better teams I had seen in 10 years in the league. And the players on that team to today, I think there may have been four or five remaining players. Navarro Bowman was maybe the only one that
right,
I can remember
on defense,
here.
Right.
I mean, everybody else, they're gone. Justin Smith, Alden Smith, all those guys, they're gone. Now, all that being said, never in a million years did I think that our offense would want to play down to that defense and not challenge it. You know, you've talked about it all day, OB.
Yep.
At some point, I'm watching in the corner of my eye the Carolina Panther-New Orleans Saint game. They are going after each other, throwing bombs, throwing it down the field, making things happen. And you know what? Like I said, after Adam Gase called that bubble screen that went for a pick six, it was almost like nobody wanted to engage for the next 30 minutes. And you know what? We only allowed this ragtag 49er team to be emboldened. And guess what? Fourth quarter, they made the plays, not us.
You know, everybody's talking about Gase. You know, he may not be here next year. The reason why I'm saying that, folks, is a lot of people think he's going to have a lot of interviews for a head coach. I'm going to tell you something. You think general managers don't look and check around in this league? That game plan today was, I told you, was a D.
It was beans. Yeah.
It was awful, folks, and he's the guy. He's the guy that came up with the defensive scheme. The offensive scheme, went to Fox. Fox put his check on it. I like what you're doing. And again, I can't say it enough. How the hell do you let this team come in here that you could have mauled and thrown around like a bunch of rag dolls, and they walk out of here with a victory?
3-1-2.
Incredible.
It is. 312-981-7200. A couple more stats to get you guys going. The 49ers last week against Arizona on third down, they were 0 for 9. Didn't complete one. Today against your Chicago Bears, third down efficiency, San Francisco, 7
yeah.
for 16.
Pretty damn good.
I mean, that's a huge improvement.
Yep.
So that's one stat. I'll give you another one, too. The Bears have now given up a NFL best, or NFL worst, I should say, 7 touchdowns by either their offense or their special teams.
On returns.
Yeah. You had the Cutler pick six to Tony Jefferson in game two of the year versus the Arizona Cardinals. You had a 68-yard pick six by Cutler in the San Diego game to Jason Verrett. You had the Jimmy Ward 29-yard pick six today. You had a David Johnson 108-yard return in the Arizona game.
Slowest 108-yard return I've ever watched on television in the pros in my life. It took like 18 seconds.
That was the first play of the game. Tyler Lockett returned it 100. Oh, that was the first play of the game in the Seattle game. Tyler Lockett returned it 105 yards for the Seahawks. You had the Cutler fumble in the end zone against Kansas City. And then you had the Marcus Sheet 65-yard punt return against the Vikings, where that was some of the worst special teams coverage we had ever seen. Jeff Rogers, who was the Bears special teams coach, I don't think that guy will have his job next year. That would be my guess.
How well Do you think San Francisco had our team scouted? How well?
Probably pretty well, OB.
You better believe it. Again, that bubble screen, the slip screen, the bubble screen, the slip screen, the bubble screen. They just go on and on with this. And boy, Glenn, were they waiting for that one. They jumped all over it. They knew damn well it was coming.
Bears lose to the Niners 26-20. The Washington Redskins are up next. What are they playing for? We'll discuss. Coming back here as we'll wrap it up. Yes?
Jobs. That's what they're playing for.
Right.
But we'll discuss it.
Yeah, we'll discuss exactly who you think is really, really on the
hot. But guess what? We've already identified a couple of guys on this team.
And they keep starting.
Have their jobs. They keep them.
Yeah. We'll see how they play these final four games out. And talk about that coming back here and get you ready for the Redskins.
You know what? Doesn't matter. What happened today? What happened today mattered. It truly mattered.
It did.
Okay? You had a great time, a big time. You're at home to really make a damn statement. And to let this get by the way it has is a crime.
Hampton OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. One more segment to go on WGN and WGNplus.com.
To the Chevy Hampton OB Show with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Bears lose to the Niners 26-20. Some other finals from earlier today. The New York Jets over the New York Giants 23-20. That would have been good for the Bears. The Giants are now 5-7. Cardinals beat the Rams 27-3. Arizona is 10-2. Seahawks pounded the Vikings. That's not what the Bears wanted. 38-7. Hamp, that was your lock of the day, right? You loved Russell Wilson and company, who had a phenomenal day. 38-7. The Vikings are now 8-4. Seattle improves to 7-5. Bills beat the Texans 30-21. Both those teams are 6-6. Dolphins over the Ravens. Both those teams are out of it. Bengals 37, Browns 3. That means that Johnny Manziel very well may get a start next week. Titans 42, the Jaguars 39. And then that will basically wrap up all your early games today. So the Bears and the Redskins this week are playing Monday Night Football versus the Cowboys. So one last day of rest. It's a noon kickoff next Sunday out at Soldier Field. If you're John Fox, what are you saying to your guys come Monday? If anything, I mean, they're professionals. They know they're playing for their jobs, but how do you present this to the team at this point?
What are you talking about, John Fox?
Do you do anything to get them ready for the next game, or do you just look them in the eye and say, "Is anybody going to continue to play?" Basically, knowing that, hey, yeah, borrowing a 0.1% miracle.
Here's how it'll work for them. They'll bring them in.
Yeah.
They'll watch the films. They'll break the films down. Watch the films. Who did this? Who did that? Okay, guys, bang. Here's the game plan for next week against the Redskins. Here's what we're going to do. They will just run through it and want you to forget about it. That's how it should go.
You're 5-7, though, right? The whole you're doesn't the concept of the season change?
Fox is not going to analyze what the hell went on this entire season at this particular time. He's not going to sit there and talk about what's going on. How did we get here? How did we do that? How did we make a mistake here? He's not going to analyze anything at this particular time. He'll just basically go through whatever it is, and let's get ready for next week.
Hamp, if you were Fox, what would you do? How would you address the troops?
Yeah, I don't care what he says. I got to tell you, I'm so disappointed and disgusted with the lack of emotion, the lack of preparation, the lack of aggressive game planning. I mean, this is across the board, it was an F by all the coaches. And sure, the players have got to take a lot of responsibility, especially Robbie Gould. You know, he gets an F. I got to tell you, the more I stew about this, you know, this one would take me a long time to get over it. And you know what? As you said, as we were going into break a minute ago, Kaz, what are they playing for? Well, jobs. Well, I made the exception. You know, Martellus Bennett throws a tantrum and then basically, you know, is summarily, you know, what do you want to call it? Kept from going to the game. He supposedly has some kind of a mysterious injury. that now obviously, you know, wasn't even on the injury report. So, like I said,
then publicly embarrasses the, players, the team by saying he didn't watch the game.
Yeah. I just, like I said, a lot of stuff that's going on right now, I'm not a fan of. I don't like it one bit. And, you know, the long-term goal of this team was to make the playoffs. Well, that's out the window now. So what do you do? What do you say to him? You know, I read the Riot Act and say it's not good enough and I'm not going to accept it.
You know what? You think that would – that you think Ted Thompson would let – or Mike McCarthy would let him get away with that up in Green Bay? How about New England? Bill Belichick, a football player, pull an annex like that. The guy would not be on – he wouldn't be on the team.
Yeah, Blunt got cut. What was the running back that got cut last year because he came to practice late on a Saturday? He was gone on Monday. They cut him in New England.
Nobody's that important, guys.
Well, it doesn't – fair to say that nobody expects Martellus to be back next year. I know we got four games to go here, and I don't want to act like we're doing the final show of the season. But my guess would be that Martellus, when this year is over –
He's gone.
He can't be a Bear.
He's not
year.
Here. There'll be a lot of people on this team that will not be here.
You've got to replace him with somebody, though.
And you think about this. You know, Rob Gronkowski, he's the goods. Very similar body styles, abilities. But now here, this will be the third team Martellus Bennett has wore as well. Welcome out. Just because of his conduct. It's not about, lack of performance, but it's just conduct. I mean, you know, you can't – because you and I have talked about it over the course of this season. You know, when Alshon was down, he was targeted, you know, more than any other tight end in the league practically, and he only caught two-thirds of the balls. You got – when your time is called and you got to step up, you got to step up for your team. Obviously, he doesn't care about the team.
Next game preview sponsored by Arlington Heights Ford, number one in what matters most, you. Do you expect them to play well next week? Do you expect them to come ready to play?
Do I expect them to? Yes, I do. You're damn right I do. They better.
Kazer?
Yeah, I mean, look, they're professionals. They're supposed to be ready to play. They didn't do it today. It's disappointing, but you know what? You're paid to go out and get ready to play. Hopefully enough of them will play hard.
It'll be interesting to see what they say, how they progress through this week. And, you know, hey, it's the Washington Deadskins. They haven't won on the road. Well, guess what? They haven't come here yet.
Hey, Danny, you know what's going to happen?
And they are in first place now, too, the Redskins.
Either the Bears are going to regroup the players and coaches and come out and play a damn good game, or from what happened here today, if they don't straighten this mess out this week, because you got a team that hasn't won a game on the road either, and the Redskins, and they come in and we go down again, guys, all bets are off.
Just want to give you guys a piece of advice before you head on out of here, and we'll wrap up the show here. But in the NBA right now, I know this is off the beaten path, but the Golden State Warriors are going to be 22-0 tonight after they beat the Brooklyn Nets. Tuesday night, they're playing the Indiana Pacers. I told everybody yesterday on the station to take the 49ers, say the Bears, it was going to be a tight game, one way or the other. Niners were going to cover. I'm telling you, Tuesday night, Golden State loses to Indiana. Put your money down, OB. I don't know if you gamble.
No, I'm not. I do not gamble. I work a little too hard for my money.
You're an honest, smart, intelligent man. He who gambles lives in shambles. Just a prediction for you. The Warriors.
Oh, there you go. Again, boldly. You know, Mark, look, they're going to lose because nobody goes an entire NBA season.
I'm telling you when and where and how, Kaz.
We'll see. Oh, Mr. Edgy Guy.
That's right. That's what I am, buddy. All right. Hamp and OB with Kaz. We will see you next Sunday at 3 o'clock. Sorry for the unhappy result today.
Have a good week, folks.
Bears lose to the Niners 26-20. Get you set for the news next on WGN.